Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Obviously watching the market action as we do enter the 12 p.m. hour here on the East Coast. That's Akiko Fujita. I'm Brian Chung. Let's take a look at markets really quickly as we, again, continue to monitor the sell-off that was a bit steeper, actually, earlier in the day. The Dow still down over 500 points. The S&P down 30 points. The NASDAQ actually ticking up 0.25%. We are expecting President Joe Biden to make remarks soon. Earlier in the morning, the president met with G7 leaders to discuss a joint response to Putin's move into Ukraine. That conversation wrapped up around 10:30 Eastern time. Following Biden's statement late last night that the United States and allies will, quote, respond in a united and decisive way, he promised to hold Russia accountable. And all of this happening as NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said the organization has increased and will increase its troop presence on the eastern boundary. Again, a lot of movement in the gold space as well, up 0.7%. Also watching oil, which is up actually $4 right now to $96.29, or actually Brent crude oil now up over 100 to $102.74. All of this commentary coming as the Federal Reserve also in focus, with the Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester saying, quote, the implications of the unfolding situation in Ukraine for the medium-run economic outlook in the U.S. will also be a consideration in determining the appropriate pace at which to remove accommodation. Goldman Sachs and Evercore ISI saying they only expect the Fed to move by 25 basis points in its next meeting in mid-March. But let's first get a big step back and kind of take a look at the big headlines coming out of Washington with Yahoo Finance's Jennifer Schonberger, who's been following the developments. Again, we're expecting President Biden to speak roughly around 12:30. What other headlines are you watching, Jen?
Hey there, Brian. That's right. The president expected to address the nation in about less than 30 minutes with an update on the U.S. response to Russia's escalated invasion of Ukraine. The president spoke with his G7 counterparts earlier this morning, as well as met with members of his National Security Council as the U.S. is prepared to slap new sanctions on Russia and coordinate with Western allies for a stinging sanctions package. The White House says it is prepared to impose not only sanctions, but export controls. It remains to be seen whether SWIFT will be in this package and if the U.S. will sanction Russian President Vladimir Putin himself. The White House is prepared to target Russia's largest financial institutions. Now, Republicans believe the U.S. should be taking a stronger stance and stronger response to Russia's actions. In a statement Thursday, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy condemned Putin's actions, said he needs to be held accountable, saying in a statement, quote, Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine is reckless and evil. The United States stands with the people of Ukraine. Putin's actions must be met with serious consequence. So, Brian, we'll hear from the president here in about less than 30 minutes to see what those next steps are from the U.S. and what the next sanctions could look like. Back to you.
Yahoo Finance's Jennifer Schonberger. Thanks so much. Let's bring in our first market guest of the hour. I want to focus in specifically on oil. Rob Thummel is Torta's portfolio manager. And Rob, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. Taking a look at the price action in WTI crude, I mean, basically all of the commodities areas here increasing. When you take a look at Brent up to basically $103 a barrel, give us your outlook on how the developing situation, which appears to be trending towards further escalation from this point, weighs on the market.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for having me. So if you look at crude oil and you look at Russia's role in both crude oil and natural gas, you know, Russia's a top five producer of both crude oil and natural gas in the world. And the market in particular in crude oil and to a certain extent in natural gas is undersupplied. The inventories keep falling and inventories levels tend to correlate with prices. And so lower inventories mean higher prices. And so that's kind of where we are. And there now is concern about what will Russia production volumes be? And so that's what's causing this rise in prices. And so that's where we sit now. So where do we go from here? I think the answer is, you know, there is ample supply of oil. There is ample supply of natural gas in the world. The U.S. has a lot more that it could provide, OPEC as well. You just need a little bit of time to drill more wells and boost production levels. So probably in the short term, likely see higher prices and if this geopolitical tension continues. But longer term, there are some relief outlets that will potentially lead to lower prices.
What kind of a spike are we talking about short term? Well, we heard the president warn about this a few days ago, saying that Americans will feel a bit of a pinch.
Yeah, I mean, oil prices on Brent have already been over 100. You know, you can see U.S. WTI rise above 100. Natural gas, a little less so, a little less impactful just because it's a seasonal commodity. And we're actually, as we all know, in the Northern Hemisphere, running out of the winter, hopefully, is almost over. But oil definitely could definitely see a rise. Oil demand with the summer and spring and summer driving season is going to continue to increase over the next several months. And so that will cause oil prices likely to move higher.
And then obviously we're watching the headlines on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, although it seems like at this point there's not much more that could be done with any sort of advancement on that already halted. But the U.S. slapping sanctions on the company that's responsible behind building that pipeline, how important is that to the price action?
Yeah, well, excuse me. The good news is for natural gas in Europe, the big peak demand is, you know, roughly October, November through the end of the winter. And the good news is we're almost done there. However, that doesn't alleviate, you know, next year's winter and the need to refill European natural gas inventories in preparation for next winter. So, obviously we're seeing really, really high prices in Europe and from a natural gas perspective because of the concern of that pipeline not becoming operational, Nord Stream 2 in particular. Now, the U.S. can solve that. You know, in the U.S., we're in a much better spot. We have low-cost natural gas because, you know, the U.S. produces more natural gas than we consume. It's decarbonizing when you replace it with coal. If you build enough liquefaction terminals in Europe, the U.S. could supply more natural gas to Europe and fill some of that demand and that European demand that normally is filled by Russian volume. So longer term, there are definitely some solutions here.
Rob, we had a guest on earlier from Brookings who said he believes this could accelerate the transition to renewables, particularly in Europe, but here in the U.S. as well. It feels like we've got a lot of guests on who are kind of split on this. How do you view that?
Yeah, well, I'm an all of the above when it comes to, you know, how do we solve this situation. Big picture, big macro trend, you know, global decarbonization, that's not going away. We all, I think, would agree that we need to decarbonize wherever we can. And so in this energy transition, you need to, the fastest way to do this is an all of the above. That includes natural gas displacing coal. That includes more solar and wind. That includes some renewable fuels, renewable diesel, renewable natural gas, hydrogen, potentially carbon capture. All of these need to be accelerated in order to achieve some of these decarbonization targets. And so right now, what can you do right now? Use more natural gas. It's pretty simple. It's very simple. There's ample supply. There's a lot of it. If you use more natural gas, you displace coal. That absolutely has been proven that it reduces carbon emissions today, and it could significantly reduce carbon emissions going forward if places like India and China just simply used more natural gas and less coal.
Tortoise Portfolio Manager Rob Thummel, thanks so much for hopping on Yahoo Finance this afternoon.